reading from the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will neither cry nor lift up his voice, nor make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will neither grow faint nor be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prisons those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the end of the earth. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the coastlands and their inhabitants. Let the desert and its towns lift up their voice, and the villages that Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare God's praise in the coastland. The word of the Lord.
Speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
Anybody old enough to remember the original Superman stuff there? That was pretty cool, hey? All right. Well, so if you could have a superpower, what one would you want? I'm going to make it easy for you. I'm going to give you two to pick from. All right, so here's the two. You can only pick one of them. If you had a superpower, which one would you pick? Either the ability to fly or the ability to be invisible. That's the quick one. So how many of you would pick the ability to fly? All right, good. And how many of you would pick the ability to be invisible? I know why, because Sandy was up here talking about recruiting for choir, so you just want to be invisible from Sandy, right? Well, on a This American Life podcast recently in NPR, author John Hodgman talked about a hobby he has of asking these two specific questions. It's kind of cool. He goes around to parties, and it's just a little thing he does, or to meetings, and or even on the street with people. He'll just stop and say, now, if you could have one of two superpowers, but only one of them, which one would you pick, right? And he has, on this podcast, he has some interesting things. He says this is unscientific, but he has reflections on it and interviews people about it. He says this, first off, when he asks this question, people tend to answer him really quickly. Like, as if they've been thinking about it a long time and they've just been waiting to be asked. And secondly, he was curious about the responses because those who picked flying, that wanted to fly, like me, they said they usually, when he asked them why, they picked that one. He said they wanted to get from one place to the next, like to work without having to commute so much. Or they wanted to fly free to a place around the world that they wanted to see without having to pay for an airplane. Or they wanted to fly to the moon or something. And then the people who picked invisibility, he said, usually they would say, I want to listen in on some private conversations. Or I could sneak in and out of movie theaters for free or something like that, you know? And what was striking to him was that unlike the superheroes in the movies that have those kind of superpowers, hardly anybody said they would use that power to fight crime or defeat dastardly villains like the superheroes do, right? Or do some good. I won't get into that, but you can look it up on This American Life, John Hodgman, and hear some really interesting other reflections on this whole thing. Well, in contrast to those responses, I was talking to one of our staff members this week, and he said, my son, when he was about 4 years old, used to say this. When we watched Superman movies with him, he'd say, Daddy, I have a superpower. And he'd say to him, oh, really, what's your superpower? He'd say, I have heart power, and I can love everybody. Isn't that cool? Little four-year-old with that vision. Well, guess what? The kid was right. You have a real superpower, not flying or being invisible, but you have a superpower, and it comes to you from God, and it's this. It's the power to love. It is. It's exactly the power Jesus Christ gave to you and bequeathed to you, not unlike the power of light that we heard in Isaiah 42, the first lesson that Jeff read to us. It's the first of four servant songs in Isaiah that describe the calling and the job description of God's redeemed people, his chosen servants. Now, we Christians have used these songs to refer to Jesus, and we hear them a lot during Advent and the Christmas season. But you can also say this prophet is speaking to the entire community of God's chosen people. Those of us who have gotten even a glimpse somewhere in our lives of the light of God breaking into our darkness in some part of life to the point that we get so freed up, liberated, that we can't help but want to set other people free. That's what you see, for instance, with people who find themselves addicted to alcohol or in families of addicted people of various kinds of addictions, all caught in this darkness and horror sometimes and unpredictability of the addictional disease, right? And the 12 steps say things like this. You know, we came to see that our lives had become unmanageable because of this addiction, but in the midst of this addiction, a power greater than ourselves has the power to restore us to sanity. And I'll tell you what, when people come to those meetings at our place here, they keep coming even after they've gotten sober because they realize, step 12, the next step is to help other people find their way out of that horrible darkness of addiction by bringing light to them. That's what it's about. So the Israelites, back in the middle of the 600th century, had been caught in this darkness of exile in Babylon, and finally the entire nation was about to be released by Cyrus of Persia, the king, to go back home to Jerusalem after a long, exhausting exile, right? And it was this powerful message of hope that the prophet Isaiah gave to them, that they had a superpower, as helpless as they felt as exiles and slaves. They had this power of light in the darkness that they were to share, not just with their fellow exiles, but with the people of all nations. That was their new mission, a light to the nations to bring justice and peace to all the world. Well, it's a pretty big job description, don't you think? And Isaiah made it clear to them, worn and weary exiles as they were, as he makes clear to us, God's servants, now, this power of love is not from ourselves. No, it comes from God. And God gives to his servants, and it's incredible power, this power of the light of love for others still in the dark. It's powerful, powerful stuff. St. Paul says it like this: I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who even live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am called out of darkness into light, and I am no longer even my own. I belong to him. And that's how I'm living. And there are at least, for me, three implications out of these texts that are callings for our lives. And the first one to me is this: when we're living in the flow of God's love for our lives, when we live by his power, his superpower of love, rather than our own, there's an endless stream of it, kind of like this. This is Cascada de la Paz in Costa Rica. Cascade of peace, and it just keeps flowing and flowing, comes from the source and keeps filling that pool and moving on down through the river, just flowing, an endless flow, endless supply. There's more where it came from. And that's what it is like with God's love and grace. We're constantly renewed, and it's not ours. And then usually when we fall into burnout, we're getting frustrated, irritable, resentful because things aren't turning out how we hoped. Usually it's because we're thinking all over again that it's up to us, not to God. You know, I was actually relieved when I came back to work here and found everything was in good shape, things were going well. A little disappointed, maybe. But the fact is, you know what? It's not about me. This congregation is not about me. It's not about any of our staff. It's not about my power to make things happen. It's about the power of God that's at work through you guys. That's what it's about. You know, that's pretty awesome. And I see it happening. We're at about 9,000 meals before the start of the third service this morning in there. Isn't that cool? And the things that you do, the things that I've seen, the calls we've gotten about this family we're concerned about here that we're going to talk about tonight, I am so impressed with the care and concern that you people have for that family. Countless other ways that people just step up when something's needed. That's because of the flow of God's love and grace that does not belong to us, and there's always more where it came from. That's God's church, fed and fueled by the table of God's love every week, and in the baptismal stream of God's love and grace, constantly renew it. Secondly, when we are living in the superpower of God's love, we don't get to decide who to love. That's God's choice as well. And there's a lot of us who have experienced some kind of abuse or hurt in our lives at some point, and it can be really tough to love somebody who has hurt us or hurt someone you love. But some of you know the story of Corrie ten Boom from World War II. Anybody remember that name, Corrie ten Boom? She wrote books. She wrote and did a lot of speaking. She and her family had been caught hiding Jews in Nazi Germany in their house. And so they were arrested and they were taken into Ravensbrück concentration camp, where there were some horrendous guards, and especially one who Corrie watched her sister being abused by him and watched her die in that concentration camp, hungry, sick, and abused by this horrible person. And by some clerical error, she was released from the concentration camp. She escaped to Holland, and when the war was over, she felt it was her calling to go back to Germany and proclaim God's forgiveness to people, all the people of Germany who were so caught in their own guilt having a hard time forgiving themselves for the horror that they had allowed to be unleashed not only on Germany but on the whole world because of their blind allegiance to Hitler. So in a church in Hitler, in Munich, when she was talking, she got done talking about forgiveness, this man came shuffling up through the crowd, up to the front, and in shock, she started to recognize who it was. It was that guard, that very horrible guard, who had been involved in the death, abuse and death of her sister. And she was just kind of frozen. And the guy came all the way up to where she was standing, and he said, "You told us that you were from Ravensbrück concentration camp, and I hate to tell you, but I was a guard there. And I hate myself for all the awful things I did there, but since you were there, all I can do is ask you if you'll forgive me for all the horrible things I've done." Here's what she says. "My blood turned to ice water in my veins as I realized with horror that this was the prison guard who abused my sister Betsy. I stood there, one who had just preached forgiveness, and I could not forgive. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, horrible death just for the asking? So I stood there with coldness clutching my heart. I had just told people that forgiveness is not an emotion, it's an act of God from the heart of God, and it can function regardless of the temperature of our hearts. Help! I cried out to God," she says. Silently, she said, "God, I can lift my hand, but you're going to have to do the rest. I cannot forgive this man." Then, she says, "woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the hand of this man stretched out to me. And as I did that, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder and raced down my arm and sprang into our joined hands. Then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being. I forgive you. With my whole heart, I forgive you," she says to this guard. Then she says, "for a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did in that moment." Nope. We don't get to decide who to love. So who's the hardest for you right now to love, to forgive? Or what group of people? And for us as the people of God. It's not up to us who God puts before us to love and forgive. The third thing we learn from this Isaiah servant song is this, that as the blessed ones of God, the chosen ones, when we're in sync with what God wants from us in this stream of God's flow of grace and love, you get to experience joy when it's flowing through you, a joy that nobody and no circumstance can take from you, joy that even when the path is rough sometimes, Jesus, our Savior, who role modeled it for us, He knew, and you do know, deep in your soul, this moment and this situation you're called to is what you were born for. This day, this moment, whatever God has called you to right now, and whoever's facing you, calling for your love of God flowing through you, that's where you're called. And you also know that God has given you exactly the skills, the strength and the courage you need to fulfill what God wants from you. Remember, He's the one who said, "I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations." And when we're in that flow of what God has chosen for us, there's no greater joy than to know that you have become an agent of the light of God in someone else's life in a darkness that you have come through and now can bring someone else out of. Powerful. Now, of course, this Superman has a symbol of his superpower on his chest, right? The big S. So what's ours? Well, you received it in your baptism. The sign of the cross that was branded into your forehead. sealed into your forehead. Even though you can't see it, it's there. And it says to you and reminds you of this very power of God flowing through you that says to you, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's branded with the cross of Christ who loved us and gave his life for us. In the power of that light, go and be light.